Welcome back. 1244, 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And on this Thursday afternoon, let us check in with Stephen Dynan, Washington Times political editor. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy.
Well, EPA chief knew of employees' claims to be working for the CIA. This is a story that's been around for a little while, and what we've learned is according to information contained in a deposition.
Yeah, this thing just keeps getting weirder and weirder. So, right, this is John Beale, who was the employee who back, I guess now 12, 13 years ago, started telling fellow EPA employees that he was a secret agent at the CIA and that that he would he worked for the EPA, said he would occasionally need to stop, basically duck out of EPA business in order to take care of his CIA double life, and continued to collect his EPA paychecks, and even collected a retention bonus, a 25% plus up on top of his regular salary, because the EPA was so desperate to keep him. This went on for more than a decade. Yeah. The new information we have is from a deposition he gave to House investigators who have been following all this, trying to figure out how in the world the EPA allowed this to happen. And a couple of things emerge. First is that, all told, it looks like he took about 2.5 years worth of extra salary. Basically,
wow.
He took 2.5 years total time off that he was paid for by the EPA, and that's not just paid his regular salary, that is paid his regular salary plus 25% retention bonus. And in particular, the EPA had held out Gina McCarthy, who is the new chief of the EPA, was at the time the head of the EPA's air office from 2009 up until she was elevated to be chief of the whole EPA. Beale worked under her, and so for 4 years, starting in 2009, she was aware that he was claiming to be from the to be leading a double life and working for the CIA as well, and she did nothing to stop that until late 2012, when she finally took steps. And the reason that matters is that the EPA had held her out as the hero of this story, finally putting an end to this double dipping, essentially. But it turns out, according to Beale, she never asked him to resign. She never fired him. It was only after, you know, basically things got too hot that she finally started clamping down.
Yeah, and she even attended a party or something, a early retirement party for
the
guy?
It wasn't necessarily, so this is where it gets even weirder. In 2011, there was a retirement party for three EPA employees, one who had already retired, one who was retiring on the day of that party, essentially, and another, Beale, who was scheduled to, who had said he would retire in a month or two later than that. This was back in 2012, but basically he realized, Gina McCarthy attended that party and spoke with him at the party, you know, nice pleasantries about, wow, gosh, you know, hope you enjoy your life after the EPA. 2 months later, when he was supposed to have retired, Beale looks at the situation and says, why would I retire? I'm getting paid by the EPA. I'm not working that much because I claim I'm at the CIA. They're paying me. I'm at home. I'm out shopping during my days. Why would I retire? I'll keep taking the paychecks. So that's exactly what he did, and Gina McCarthy continues to send him emails long after she, you know, he had supposed to retire. She never followed up with him and said, hey, what about that retirement? Nothing like that. So, you know, all these questions continue to emerge, and it's not just McCarthy. The big news out of the deposition is that, contrary to the EPA's holding McCarthy out as the hero here, she was just like every other employee over there. She let it go on, nothing happened, and he continued to take a tremendous amount of money from taxpayers for doing no work.
And this guy had to be thinking the whole time, man, this is easy. This is easy pickings.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's exactly why after he was supposed to retire, he stuck around. You know, what's crazy, of course, we'll never know, but I imagine if he'd actually followed through with his retirement, he might have been able to actually get away with this.
Yeah.
As it turns out, you know, he pushed it too long and too hard and is now, you know, about to serve a couple years in prison and then repay hundreds of thousands of dollars in restitution.
But will he get his pension?
You know, that's actually a good question. I know the answer to that is out there. I actually just don't remember it off the top of my head. But it's I think the law actually says a federal employee who has been convicted of fraud loses their pension. But I may be confusing that with members of Congress.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I want to move on to something else. Conservative super PAC to fund Secretary of State hopefuls. Its name SOS.
Yeah, SOS for SOS, for Secretary of State, you know, basically Emergency for Secretaries of State. And, you know, this is just another indication of how important the people who decide the election rules are turning out to be. You know, we all sort of got a first taste of this back when the 2000 recount, the Bush versus Gore and all of that, and Catherine Harris there and the Chads. You know, we remember everybody sitting there at their Thanksgiving tables looking over the TV watching the Florida election officials holding up their ballots to the light to try and figure out how to count them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's when we first saw election officials matter. But since then, you know, we've seen decisions, we've seen recounts in various places. The one that comes to mind is in particular a 2008 race in Minnesota where Norm Coleman, Senator Norm Coleman, a Republican, ended up on election night ahead of Al Franken, but by the time the recount was done, Al Franken won that recount, and a lot of folks say that that's because the Secretary of State in that case made all the decisions in favor of Al Franken. That Secretary of State was a Democrat who was actually aided by a George Soros organization that first put attention on these Secretary of State races. So essentially what's going on here is Republicans are playing catch-up. Democrats realized about a decade ago how important these races were and started putting money into them. Republicans are saying, wow, you know, they really are important. Look what's happening. We need to get back to that as well. We need to figure out how we can get people in there who support voter ID, who support paring down the roles of dead people and non-citizens. So it's time to put some money behind that.
Yeah, when you think of that office, though, you don't think of a whole lot of money being involved in those races, but I guess now you will?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. You really, there really hadn't been a ton of money, but there are, well, as we said, we're seeing these races matter more and more. You know, if you can decide, if you can get rid of dead people off of your voter rolls, that makes it a lot tougher for those dead people to keep voting. If you can get rid of non-citizens off your voting rolls, that makes it a lot tougher. You know, they can still find ways, but it generally makes it tougher for non-citizens to come out and vote. And the point of this, so basically for the last few decades, we've had a push to expand voter access, a civil rights era and whatnot, and everybody would agree that's been a very good thing. The problem is that now in the last 10 years or so, we've started realizing that, well, that expansion has left the voter rolls so cluttered that the possibilities for fraud are more and more common. Whether fraud is actually happening more is an issue for debate, but the possibilities for fraud appear to be greater, and so now there's this pushback, and it's turned into a big political issue. President Obama says access is the most important thing. Conservatives argue, well, yes, access is great, but if you have an illegal voter out there and that person votes, that's canceled out the vote of a legitimate voter. That's just as important as access, and that's where the fight comes down.
I got you. All right. Kind of quiet today or what?
Yeah, we're still sort of waiting for everybody to come back and restore the fights where we left off. Actually, next week will be quiet too because we have the State of the Union address, and then the House is basically gone at the end of next week, so things will be quiet again.
Yeah. All right, Stephen. Thanks for your help. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Andy.
Stephen Dynan, Washington Times political editor. It's 12:52 at 1260 WRC.